Last time we left off with a beautiful Maso Matan with the Talmidim about how to read Rashi that explains the difference between Shemen and Kimcha Dechita. And Rashi in Dibur HaMaskel, Hacha Isla Elu Yachrin, I just want to summarize a couple different ways of reading the Rashi. One way of reading the Rashi was the way that the Rav ultimately read the Rashi, and that is that Rashi seems to be saying that Derech Achila is critical and not the Shem Pri, and he argued on his grandfather, the Netziv, that the Netziv understood that this is Rashi L'shitaso, that everything is totally on the Shem Pri. And Rashi then reads as follows, Hil Yatzav Michlal Pri, U'lechlal Derech Achilaso Lo Ba. Rashi means it's not called a pri because the kemach dechit is not called a pri because it's not derech achila. And Rashi continues, "Av Hashem miyad bo shinui v'klal derech achilasa v'ikra pri l'kach netuhu hilchach prihu." So this mahalach is to learn straight up that Rashi is learning the derech achila. Then we have the Netziv's mahalach, and the Netziv learns that Rashi is saying that the ikur Yisod over here is whether it has a shame pre or not. Hilchach yatzah mechlal pre, it loses its shame pre. Ulechlal derech achilas olba, he's just telling us that it hasn't come to the tafkid of hamotzi. Yet, how do you read the hemshech of the Rashi, which is the reason why Rav Soloveitchik said that you have to say that we're talking about derech achila? So I thought that you could actually use the yisod, and Eitan Kemat said this at the end of Shir. That when Rashi says, Aval Hashem miyad bo b'shinuyav l'chlal derech achilaso, so what Rashi is saying is like this. Rashi is saying that Shemen is different than all other things because it's derech achila v'ikar apri is for what? For the tirosh, like we saw in the Shitas HaRamban al HaTorah. So the Hemshech of Rashi could actually read, even though Rav Soloveitchik abandoned the Netziv's Pshat, but the truth is, if you take Lechura, I don't know why the Rav didn't say this, I could still read Rashi pretty well, according to the Mahalach, to say that's the Shem Pri. And Rashi reads like this, Avla Shem miyad bo b'shinuyev l'klal derech achiloso v'ikar apri. This is the ikar tafkid of the Zayis. The ikar tafkid of the Zayis is for it to be Shemen. L'kach netu, hilkach pri, therefore it gets the bar pri eitz, like we saw in the Shita of the Ramban al HaTorah. Finally, Simcha had a third way of reading Rashi, and Simcha's way of reading Rashi is neither of the pshatim that we've seen before. And Simcha wanted to say that you need one of two agdaros to get a bar pri eitz. Either it's called a pri, or the derech achila is this way. Hilchach yatza michlal pri, ulechlal derech achila saloba. The shemen is neither a pri, nor is it derech achila. The kemach is neither a pri, nor is it derech achila. But the shemen, this is the derech. V'ikra pri, l'kach netu hilkach priu. I'm not so happy with Simcha's pshat because, as I said to you before, v'ikra pri. According to the second way that I was reading the Rashi, the fanciest way of reading the Rashi, actually v'ikra pri works out very nicely. That the shemen is the ikra pri. According to Simcha, why does Rashi say v'ikra pri? Why does Rashi say it's the ikra pri? Rashi just say it's derech achilaso. Unless he means to say that derech achilaso makes it the primary use of the pri. It's a little bit, I'm not so happy with that, the word v'ikra pri. According to the second way we read, that is very, very, that would be actually quite smooth. Okay, so these are three different ways of reading the Rashi. I'm sorry, Yoshua, I don't want to spend time on it right now because I just wanted to summarize. There's so much work, Be'ezer Hashem, that we have in front of us. So I just wanted to summarize that because Baruch Hashem, there was a lot of masum matam pilpul chaverim. I wanted to make sure that what came away was three clear different ways of reading the Rashi. Okay, let's continue on in the Gemara. We left off with the last four lines of the Gemara because the Gemara really introduces a new topic. This new topic, actually, we're going to come back to. We have two topics today. Tomorrow, I'm going to give a side set of Maror Mekomos, which is going to come back to this. Will be connected also to what we'll be learning Monday night with the general community as well. The Gemara says, "Umi gora mi melech v'zamis." Is it really worse than melech and zamis? Disnan. Is kimcha dechita really worse than this? Disnan al melch vazamis omer shakol niya bedvaro. So we said that sa'ari, so the halacha is that we would have had a hava mina that you don't make a bracha at all. You would have had such a hava mina, salt, you make shakol niya bedvaro. Itzvach, sal kadaitach amina melch vazamis avidinish deshudi lepume. Aval kimcha desari hal v'kasha l'kukiyani lo livrach aleha klal. Here, when it comes to kimcha desari, this granula, that's bad l'kukiyani. What is that? Says Rashi. Kukiyani is tolom shibimeyayim, which still exists today, that could produce, God forbid, tapeworms in the stomach. Kamash malon, kivan disle anomine boy bruche. The chiddush is that even though it's kosher l'kukiyani, nevertheless, since there is hanah, so then a bracha is made. The Gemara is very straightforward. We would have had a hav amina since it's mazik that it doesn't get a bracha. Kamash malon, since there's anah, then you do get a bracha. The problem, of course, is that l'chura there's a beferisha Gemara that's against this. This Gemara that we just read right now, that I would have a hav amina that there's no hanah. So that's mazik, you don't get a bracha. Kamash malon, when there's anah, you do get a bracha. Which Gemara l'chura is against this? Yes? Yes, Yoshua? Yeah. The Gemara in Shemen, the Chura seems to be against this. Because the Gemara told us on the bottom of Amud Beis that when it comes to Shemen, so then in such a case, Rashi had explained that it shouldn't get a bracha at all. Azuki mazki legufe, ve'enzu achila shetuna bracha, degabe bracha v'achalta ksiv. So Rashi seems to say that when it comes to Shemen, there is no bracha when it's mazik, when you imbibe shemen directly, so in such a case it doesn't get a bracha. So I wanted to point out to you, as we had in the asterisk, I normally don't put a bach on the asterisk, but to really frame the sugya, if you take a look in the bach, in Reish Beis, Sifkot and Dalet, he quotes the Shitas HaRambam that disagrees with Rashi. We already spent time discussing that the Rambam didn't read the Gemara like Rashi. And the Rambam learned, Azuke Mazki Le meant that it doesn't get a Borei Priya Eitz. But it's still going to get the bracha of a shahakal. So says the Bach, I've got a strong raya to Shitas HaRambam. The Bach thinks the halacha, the Rambam is correct, and Rashi is wrong. Because at the end of the day, the Bach says that the Gemara on Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph says, when something is mazik, then it does get a bracha. So if the Gemara says that when something is mazik, it does get a bracha, so Rashi must be wrong. The Rambam must be right that when a person imbibes shemen, in such a case, he will get a bracha of a shakal. He's not going to get the idyllic bracha, as we explained in the past, but he will get a bracha of shakal. So all of the achronim try to be miyashev. What is the? How could we reconcile the two sugyas? The simple reading of the Gemara Laman Heyam Abayz was not like the Rambam. The simple reading was like Rashi, Azuke Maskele, that shouldn't get a bracha at all. So how could we reconcile these two Gemaras? So one thing that the Rav Nissen Kaplan says is nice, but it's not going to help us very much. Rav Nissen Kaplan says, aha, maybe according to the Ritva, it's not a question. Now what? That the Ritva had said, we had learned that the Ritva had said, that Azuki Mazkile doesn't mean that it's Mazik the person. Azuki Mazkile means that it's Mazik, it's not using the Pri in the proper way. So if we're talking about a case where a person doesn't use the Shemen in the proper way at all, so then in such a case, then it doesn't get a bracha. However, over here, this is a normal thing to eat the kemach. However, the only thing is that it happens to be tangentially, it's mazik, it's not healthy, the healthiest thing for a person. So Rav Nissen Kaplan tries to, one of the answers he gives is to say that according to the Ritva, the question doesn't start. So he's right. According to the Ritva, the question doesn't start, but that's not going to help us over here because we like to learn Gemara Rashi Taisis well. So according to Rashi, it hasn't solved it. Yes, it's true. Yishteltzu the Ritva, very nice. It's a nice Mar Mokum. According to Ritva, the question might not start, and you need to develop a svara why, what exactly the chiluk between the two cases is. But we want to learn pshat according to Rashi, and according to Rashi, the sugyas themselves are still contradictory. If you learn like the Ritva, it's true that if you don't use the item properly, so then that's a different case of Azuke Maskile over here. Although it might be a little counterintuitive. Over there we argued that if you don't use it properly, at least you should get a shahako. He's claiming no. He's claiming that if you're using it improperly in a way that's not the derech at all to use it, so then in such a case you won't get a bracha. But if you're mazik the guf, so then you would get a bracha. That's also a little counterintuitive. But it's true that according to the Ritva, the sugyas are mechalka. So I have two problems. Number one is the teretz is a little counterintuitive. And number two, more significantly, well, even if we'll come up with a svara, at the end of the day, within Rashi himself, the sugyas seem to contradict each other. So Rabosa, I'd like to give you a nice hezber I saw. And that this is from a sefer that many of you might not have heard of. And that's the Divrei David. The Divrei David, you probably heard of in Ezekiel. He's the Nachlas David. So he gives a beautiful pshat. The Nachlas David is the first generation Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. In many ways, I find that in terms of Derech HaLimud, I think one of the achronim that I think what we do, what we try to do, one millionth of what he did in terms of style is closest to the Nachlas David. The first generation in Volozhin, what they did was they tried to be magdir all of the shitos in the sugya. They didn't say it's big chidushim as Rav Chaim said in Volozhin, but they tried to be magdir with what we call lamdas today. Very, very clearly, what is nekudas hamachlokis? What are the different shitas in the sugya? And being medayik. In many ways, the Nachlas David Sefer is very, very similar of what we try. We're not always successful, but we try to do in the sugya. So Nachlas David gives us a little bit more in being mazri. Do you have the photocopies? You guys have the Divrei David? So the Divrei David learns like this. He quotes the machlokas between the Rambam and Tur. The Tur is Shitas Rashi that says that you don't get a bracha. And then he quotes our Gemara. And he says about seven lines from the top. V'ocha nami. What's the difference? And you look up a drop, he says, you know what kosher lekukiyani is? He says the Gemara later on in Membeis Amanal speaks about different foods. There are some foods that are good for the teeth and bad for digestion. Says the Divrei David, when we're talking about a food that has a particular problem with it, so there ultimately the person gets hanah. It happens to be the food is not good for a particular thing, right? Someone who has high cholesterol, he enjoys the food, but at the end of the day, there's a part of the food that's not healthy for him. That's kosher lekukiyani. That's what we're talking about over here. That's what we're talking about when we say that it's mazik. It's just mazik over for one particular thing. However, when it comes to shemen, so there the shemen is awful. It tastes awful. It's mazik his whole guf. It sends him into some type of uncomfortable matzav. Not that there's a risk that he's going to get sick. So says the Divrei David, that's the chiluk between the two cases. So the Bachet said that you have a raya? No, there's two different teshitas harambam. According to Rashi, we could be miyashin that there are two types of hezek. One is a hezek that entirely damages him, and he doesn't get any hana. In contrast to where he gets hana, but it happens to be that well, for one thing, it's not so good for him. L'chura, what would emerge then according to this hezber, Aliba Lirashi, then what would emerge would be that if a person, maybe he shouldn't be eating cholesterol, but at the end of the day, if they have high cholesterol, they'll still make a bracha. Because at the end of the day, there is a real hana that he's going to get. In contrast to if the individual doesn't really get any hana, why are you drinking shemen? Your throat hurts. But that's not any type of hana in terms of in eating wise, that's a refuah. That's just, you're supposed to even gargle it and spit it out, as we saw the Rishonim say. So there, it's entirely hezek, mitchila v'atzof. So then in such a case, then there's not going to be a bracha. I'll just throw out a kernel for tomorrow's Mar Mikomos, and thinking in terms of a bigger sugya, but at the end of the day, what seems to emerge is, he eats the kimcha, tastes good. He's a little satisfied. And then his stomach gets hit. Is there hanos meyov in such a case? So it sounds like from here, is it that there's only hanos gorim as opposed to hanos meyov? That's a big, big discussion in the poskim. What happens if a person enjoys it when it's up here, but when it gets down there, so then in such a case, it's mazik him. So that's a big, big, big discussion which we should get to, which will connect to also Hilchos Tisha B'Av. That will be tomorrow's Marim Mekomos. We'll do the Sugya Mita Emes tomorrow for one day, and that really follows up from this Yisod. So that's the Shita of Rashi. But what does the Rambam hold? The Rambam says you even make a bracha on what? You even make a bracha on Shemen. So wait. Says the Nachas Dalit. Says the Rambam, you're right, it's mazik the whole body. But at the end of the day, if he's drinking it, there must be some type of hana that he's getting from it. So what he says is the following. He says that according to the Rambam, if at the end of the day the person is imbibing it, we're not talking about a fool. We're talking about someone who's doing it for some type of reason. So at the end of the day, is it good for him? For his health? No. But at the same time, even though it's not good for his health, but he decided to do it. So that means, why did he decide to do it? Because he's getting hana. So if he's getting hana, but then by definition, then there will be a need for a bracha. By the way, the post can discuss. Chas v'chalila, chas v'chalila. What about taking drugs? If it's a drug that there is some type of hanaz goram. So, according to Rambam, he knows at the end of the day it's going to be mazik his guf. He knows at the end of the day it's going to be mazik his guf. But, at the same time, so then, he at the moment, he's getting hanaz. So since he's getting hanaz, so then in such a case, then the bracha will be applicable. I thought that we could go a drop deeper. The Rashi says, at the end of the day, once it's totally damaging his guf, so then we ignore the hana that he's getting for the moment. But according to the Rambam, we don't. So what's this nekudas ha-machlokis? So maybe we could connect this machlokis between the Rashi and the Rambam to a deeper issue of the mechayva birchas hanen that we've seen in the past. What were we medayik that Rashi had said in Dibra Maskel El Svara on Lamed Heyomid Aleph? Rashi and Lamed Heyam and Alf, the Yermaskal Svara said, what's the Mechayev of Birchas Hanenen? The Kivon de Nene, once he was Nene post facto, Sarech Lahodos Lamisha Brum. So Rashi, Shita is, at the end of the day, is the person Nene. So there might be a moment that the individual is Nene, there was a split moment that he's Nene, but at the end of the day, is the individual Nene? It's Mazik, his entire guf. So in such a case, there's no Bracha. However, if you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam is magdir, the mechayiv of Hilchos Brachos, along the lines of the simple understanding of it being a matir, as we've seen the Ritva and others have been magdir. So according to the Rambam, even if at the end of the day the person is not nene, but his guv is not nene, but in order to be matir, any ana, by definition there's a mechayiv of Brachos. So this might extend the yisod of what the Divrei David is saying. But the main question that we have to ask is what's the difference between Shemen and Kimcha Dechita? And the Divrei David is the first one, the Nachlas David is the first one that really steps up and gives us a Hadara. Maybe one could argue that Rashi is Lishitaso, that this Rashi, in other words, Rav Nissen Kaplan's Teretz doesn't help us in Rashi Mitchilav Adasof. But maybe this answer will be a yishuv that actually is consistent with Rashi Shita. Rashi is focusing at the ultimate picture. At the ultimate picture, the fellow is entirely damaged. In contrast to Kimcha Dechita, where, yes, there's a risk, there's a health risk. So if there's a health risk of a seder, in such a case, you still get a bracha, according to Rashi. However, the Rambam says, at the moment he's getting ana, yes, if at the moment he's getting ana, there's a matir that's mechayiv him for the bracha. This would be the hezber in the machlekes. Yes, Ezra.
So, according to this, then why would Rashi say that in the case of Kimcha Tzari, you only get a shakal, if it's only a potential risk? I mean, so someone who has a cholesterol problem, but eats something that has high cholesterol, is that automatically not sent down to a shakal from the real bracha?
No. No. Well, cholesterol is not our seer. This is a...
Right, so I'm saying that...
Cholesterol is two steps down. It's also that when we still have the yisod that we had before, and it's not a shame pre, and it's not derech achilaso. All of those three things. That's why you got knocked down. Not because it's kimcha defita or shemen. You got knocked down for all the reasons above in the Gemara. Yes, Yoshua.
So what was Rashi saying?
Well, okay. So this finishes off our halacha l'maaseh. Rabbi Yosi, I'm just going to tell you what I saw that is quoted from one of the poskim today. And I'm not sure what to do with this. L'chura, you could connect it to Machlokas, Rashi, and Rambam. But I'll just quote to you what I saw. I'm not convinced, but it's an interesting ha'ara. There's become a very popular sefer that's come out along with the Daf Yomi, put out by Rav Yashiv's son-in-law, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, called Chashukei Chemed. And he quotes Rav Yashiv on the following question. On our Gemara, he asks, what happens if someone suffers from diabetes? And he comes to the Rav. I don't know if the Rav should even answer the question. Comes to the Rav and says, I know I shouldn't be eating it. I know I shouldn't be eating this cake. But I want to know, when I don't listen to my wife and I eat the cake, should I make a bracha? Because it's mazik me. So what do we have? We have two different sugyas. The sugyas of Kimcha Dechita says that in such a case you do make a bracha. Shemin says, according to Rashi, and this is how we paskin halacha, you don't make a bracha. The Rambam says that you make a shakal. We don't paskin like the Rambam. We paskin like Shitas Rashi. So he asks, so he comes and asks the Rav, should I make a bracha or not? I have diabetes. I shouldn't be eating this cake. It's mazik me. But at the end of the day, I want to know if I should make a bracha. So Rav Yashid answered him like this. They said, the bracha rishona, you should make. But a bracha achrona, you should not make. Because a bracha achrona, he says, how can you make? Because the mayichal is mesakin chayov. And then in such a case, you can't say v'achalta v'savalta v'erachta. However, he says, the bracha rishona, he says like this. Rav Yashiv says that on the first garin, the first bit that he eats, that's not mazikin. So already the first little bit, so there you have to make a bracha rishona. But everything afterwards, then it could be mazikin. You wouldn't make a bracha. But this, in such a case, the first crumb is not mazikin, and therefore it'll be mechayiv you a bracha rishona. This was Rav Yashiv's answer. How it would, let's work backwards in our analysis. In our analysis, what did we see? That according to the shita of Rashi, so then Rashi would say that any time it's totally mazikim. So then in such a case, it doesn't precipitate a bracha, even a bracha rishona. So maybe you could say that he's right, that on the first crumb, no, but is that a maisa afila? On the
totally
first crumb? I don't know. I'm not sure this psak I totally understand, but you should know. Halacha l'maisa, this is one of the approaches of the poskim. I would be more note that to say at the end of the day, if it's a maisa afila that's mazikim, so then you don't make a bracha. In contrast to kukiyani, so there it's just a risk. It seems like in this case, we were talking about a case that, according to Divrei David, there was a case that's that he might have indigestional problems. But it's something that could kill him. That if he keeps on eating this, that this could kill him. In such a case, l'chura, one could be mefakpek and say that there's no bracha whatsoever. At the end of the day, he's making a bracha on the maisa achila, and the maisa achila is not healthy. So if the maisa achila is not healthy, l'chura, one could be mefakpek and say that there's no bracha even for the bracha rishona, especially according to Nachas David's Mahalach that says that the kukiyani is just that something that's partly enjoyable, and it could be that there's one thing that's not good for him, but here it's entirely not good for him. It could kill him. So then in such a case, maybe there's room to say that there's no bracha rishona at all. I saw Rav Nissen Kaplan also says something I'm not convinced about either. Rav Nissen Kaplan claims that the halacha and Shulchan Aruch is that you're not supposed to make, it's a machlokis between the Rambam and Ravid, whether you're supposed to make a bracha on a macholas asuris. If a person eats treif, so then in such a case, is he supposed to make a bracha? Wait, if he's eating treif, then he's asking if he has to make a bracha? No, there are cases, let's say cholash yesh bo sakana. If he has to eat, does he make a bracha? So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that if a person eats macholas asuris, then a person does not make a bracha rishona. So now, if we're going to say that you don't make a bracha rishona, so then the Chura one could say that over here. It's Macholas Asuris as well. It's Shmark Mizancho Sechem. So Nissen Kaplan argues no. He says that the only time we say it is when there's a Cheftza Macholas Asuris. When for the individual himself, there's only Yisr Shmark Mizancho Sechem, so in such a case it doesn't apply. That's a big Chiddush. It's a big kiddush. I'm not so sure that he's right about that. It gets back in the sugya mitzvah bo baver. Either way, there are two approaches that say that one would make a bracha on a davar from the poskim, that mazik, either to say that's halacha in the chefza macholos asuros, dafka where you don't make a bracha, or to say that you make a bracha on the first garin. According to the way we've learned up the sugya, there's a lot of room to say that in such a case, because of Mishmartim Asnafsha Sechem, or because of Azuke Maskile, in such a case there is no bracha rishona. Either the Gemara says that by Azuke Maskile there is a bracha rishona by Kufiani. So the best pshat that we saw is that the Nekuda Samachlok between Rashi and the Rambam is in an instance where, according to Rashi, in this case you get a bracha, is where it's not entirely damaging for him. It might create certain discomfort. But where his health is at stake, in such a case, then Rashi would hold that there is no bracha. Shemen, where just in general, it doesn't put his life in danger, you don't get a bracha. So certainly in this case, we would say that you don't get a bracha. Yes, Shmuel.
How pressing does the damage have to be in order for it to qualify as something that is caused? For example, the diabetic eating sugar has got an immediate knock-on effect. Was this, for example, like an obese person, fat person?
Those are fair questions. Those are all very fair questions to ask, which, based on our analysis of the daf, we're not capable to entirely get to. But you're right, you're making a very good point that the diabetic immediately feels the impact of such a
sliding scale.
That's important. That's important in the Nachlas David's analysis of the machlokus between Rambam and Rashi, because he's being mechalik between something that hits his system right away and something which in general is not so good for him. Okay. The Ikar Sugya for today is the Hemshech of the Gemara, Korah. This is a fascinating sugya, both in Lamdus as well as a very small but important application, Lahalacha.